This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, January 26. Well, wheat markets were firm yesterday, and we stayed that way throughout the day. It wasn't the big day up, but we were up around 4, 5, 6 cents throughout the session, and the market's just hanging right in there and up, basically trading just barely above the previous day's high, which was a rebound from the washout that we saw on Monday. So the market has recovered nicely. We've recouped everything we've lost in on Monday in wheat and in corn and in soybeans. In fact, corn was kind of the leader up on Tuesday. Yesterday, we had some follow through to the upside, and then it reversed down. Again, not a big day down, but it did give up its gains for the day. Soybeans yesterday started out weaker, testing the Monday low, and then we reversed back up. So we are now, given the night session, we're up another 7 cents in soybeans. We're back above the gap that was created on Monday. So the market's not ready to roll over yet. Corn and wheat certainly holding their own. And again, after Monday's trade, it sure looked like we were just going to get a bit of a washout to the downside, and we just had no follow through at all from that day, and the markets have again recaptured those losses and continued to push higher just a bit. So I think we're following that normal seasonal pattern where we tend to rally in early February. Usually it's around the crop report, and normally that's around the 10th or the 12th, but this year the crop report is February 8th, so we're coming in a little bit early on the report as well. I think that the corn is finding some support despite, the good planting conditions in Brazil and the rains that are finally coming to Argentina. Corn market finding some support on the hopes that export volume will pick up once China gets back from their Lunar New Year holiday celebration, which is all of this week. There's also some chatter around the marketplace that Brazil's exportable supplies are starting to tighten up. So they would be getting toward the end of their last season's corn supplies here fairly soon. They had a big crop and they had a lot to export, but that's just kind of the rumblings. And that would definitely be supportive, obviously, to the corn market as we head into a 3 or 4 month stretch where Brazil's exportable supplies would be relatively tight. And there really isn't anyone else to export. Argentina is pretty much out. Ukraine is not going to be able, whatever they have left, it's going to be difficult for them to export in any kind of volume. So that does leave the U.S. as the major supplier once Brazil runs tight. That said, U.S. has struggled huge to capture very much export business at all. We're running about half of what we were a year ago and well below USDA's projections, even with the ratcheting down of those projections. China's been a major culprit of that. They have switched their soybean purchases mostly to Brazil. They're down about 70% of US imports. So that's kind of pretty much explains our struggle here. And it looks like they want to continue to do that, and they will, as long as Brazil has supplies available. And also, of course, you've got these news reports out of Mexico about Mexico wanting to stop importing U.S. GMO corn, which is pretty much everything we send them. Now, they're starting to walk that back a little bit, but now they're talking about how they want to reduce those imports by 30 to 40% by the end of 2023. So, I mean, that's not very far away. It doesn't give us much time to react. And it clearly doesn't give them much time to find a different source. They're talking about how they want to grow it their own. But if they could, it would seem like they would already be doing that. Unless they're developing some sort of massive irrigation system somewhere that we're not aware of. But it's just an odd requirement coming out of Mexico. It's been buying our corn for decades. And now all of a sudden, it's not good enough. They don't want the GMO. It's probably political, but it does throw a wrench into things for U.S. They're a huge customer of ours, as is China. You can't afford to lose both of them. So, we'll see. But I think in the short term, it's not that big of a deal, but if you get into the fall and Mexico's imports are indeed starting to drop off, then we would take that more seriously. But for now, it just seems like more talk than anything. But you got to wonder why they're talking about it at all. In some other business around the world, we see in wheat, Iraq bought 150,000 tons of Australian wheat at $445 delivered. If you back off the freight that comes in around 405 FOB, which seems a little high, maybe we're not including insurance in that, but nevertheless, they are moving some wheat into the Middle East. U.S. feed wheat sold to South Korea at about $350 a ton delivered. That equates back to around $300 FOB. That's about $20 less than what our FOB offers are for milling quality. Algeria increasing their imports of Russian wheat at the expense of French wheat. Normally, Algeria has bought almost exclusively French wheat, but the last couple years, that has seen a dramatic shift. They loosened up some of their restrictions on quality, so they're allowing a higher bug damage up to 0.5% rather than the 0.1%, and that allows Russian wheat to move in. So they are significantly increasing their Russian imports. For the first half of the marketing year, it looks like their imports from Russia around 1.1 million tons, which is double of what they imported from a year ago. Taking a quick look at weather, we see over the last 7 days or so in the southern plains, eastern half of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas had a pretty nice shot of rain. And then, of course, that system moved through the delta and into the southeast, creating havoc in a lot of areas. But getting some much-needed rain in that eastern half of the southern plains, we've seen a great deal of rain and snow across much of Colorado, Nebraska, and then on north. We've got quite a bit of snow cover. So really the drought region here in the United States has declined significantly. It's really just focused on the western, central, and southern plains, and that would be primarily southwest Kansas, the western half of Oklahoma, mostly into the panhandles, and then stretching down into west Texas. It's key cattle country, it's key hardwood winter wheat country, so we can't, presume that the winter wheat crop is going to be okay, but it's certainly looking better. And the odds of more moisture are opening up too as we move out of the winter and into the spring. Argentina, which has been suffering from dry conditions for months and months, which severely hurt their wheat crop, it has already hurt their corn and bean crops, but those floodgates appear to have opened. And we've had good moisture over the last week or two, and the next 10 days or so, we're looking at a couple more systems at least coming through almost all of the Argentine grain growing region. So, if nothing else, you've stopped any further deterioration of the crop and probably are going to bump it up a little bit from here on out. That doesn't seem to be all that bearish for corn. I figured that once the rain started in Argentina, corn would have little choice but to go down. But with soybeans holding their own, and the prospect for demand hopefully increasing here for corn over the next few months, that is offering some element of support. So perhaps the market is telling us it's basically going to be stuck in a range. It's hard to envision the corn market starting an upward trend with, Brazil seeding record corn acres into very good conditions. So the prospect of a record second season bean crop, or excuse me, corn crop, is very high coming out of Brazil. Now, granted, that doesn't hit the world pipeline until July and August, but still, it is there hanging over the market. And U.S. exports have been so poor. We have corn to export, we just have struggled to do it. So if we have to stimulate demand, that gets accomplished by lowering prices. And obviously, that's bearish for corn. So, we'll see how this all plays out. But again, it's hard to make an argument that corn would start an upward trend. So, I think the top side is very limited. The market appears to be telling us that it's reluctant to go down. I mean, it's got every reason in the world to go down, at least in the short term, and it's not doing it. So, we're probably going to be stuck in a trading range here. But getting back to wheat, the growing season is going to kick off here in the United States here in about 3 weeks in the far southern plains. And, you know, we're going to be focusing much more on weather. Typically, the market tends to rally again into early February, then start to work its way lower. If the rains come, I think you're going to be looking at a wheat market that continues to work its way lower. If the rains don't in the southern and central plains in those western regions, then the wheat market probably continues to build some kind of a weather premium as we work our way into March and into early April. Seasonally, the markets, if you're rallying into early May, it tends to peak in early May. So we're looking at that window, you know, just things to keep in mind, looking for an early February high and then a break into late February, and then start to build a bit of a weather premium as we get into April. And then it just depends on what kind of rains we get in the plains. If they don't come, we'll probably peak out in early May. If they do come, I think the market will just start to will continue to work its way lower as we work our way toward the harvest. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.